Welcome to church tonight. Hallelujah. This isn't happening much anymore. Seems like across the nation, perhaps across the world. You know, I've seen on the news today that there's a whole bunch of churches that have tried to make adaptations. They're even coming against them. You know, and I don't think that's right. Praise the Lord. I think that there is some wisdom that we have to use and continue to use. But it isn't right to just completely shut us down. You know what I mean? That's not the best. Praise the Lord. But God is still good. Amen. And I believe that we're going to continue doing what we need to do. Amen. Glory to God. Of course, we're taking all the necessary precautions and following the guidelines. And so we're down to just a skeleton crew here. But glory to God. God still is doing great and wonderful things. He still wants to move among us. Amen. And it doesn't matter anyways, because the Bible says that where two or three are gathered, glory to God, He is there in the midst. And so because there's more than two here, amen, the suggested limit is 10, I guess. But that's still more than two, praise the Lord. So as long as they don't drop it below two, we're so good, amen. But I think we'll be good anyways. God is good. He's here with us, amen. We got a message for you tonight. Glory to God. I believe that God wants to show us some things, and so we're going to get into it, amen. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called Grace Through Knowledge. Hallelujah. And we're going to be talking about the importance of the knowledge of God. You know, every week we read John 8, 31 and 32. And of course, the understanding of that scripture in that, you know, that if you abide in His word is that you abide in His knowledge and that you gain knowledge through that abiding, you know. And He said, you'll be my disciples. And we know that a disciple is one who's taught, amen, according to a certain principle. Of course, in this case, according to Christ's principles. And so one who's taught is somebody who learns. It's somebody who becomes knowledgeable. And it is the knowledge of God, amen, that is where our hope is really found. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I actually woke up with this in my spirit, the words light and easy is found in the knowledge of Him. Amen. It's not just enough to read the word. It's not just enough to know or to be able to recite it, but to know it, to come to a place of knowledge, the same knowledge that God gives, to be known or to know as we are known, in other words, amen. And, there's a lot the Bible says about knowledge. It's really interesting. And the word to know, often in the Old Testament, is the word yada, which literally means to be intimately acquainted with. They also use that, the term yada. The Jews also use that same word when they were talking about sexual intercourse. And so we understand that it is an intimate knowledge, and that's what it means. But the New Testament, I don't know the Greek word for it, but it's a counterpart to that word. It's the same word in the Greek, and it means the same similar thing. Amen. It's expressing the same thing. And so we understand that light and easy is found in the knowledge of Him. It's not just enough to know that God is God, but it's enough to know about the personality of God. It's important to know and understand who God is and to have an intimate relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. As I were driving down here, I was just praying on the way down, and this came to my spirit as I was praying. I heard, it's not about what you did today or even this week. It's about how you live overall. Amen? Aren't you glad your life isn't defined by one bad day? Aren't you glad that your life isn't defined by one bad week? Aren't you glad that your life isn't defined by a bad month or a bad year? Glory to God. And so it's not about, and knowledge tells us this, that it's not about knowing God is not just about, what we do on any specific given day. It's not, okay, I went to church and so I know God or anything like that. But it's how you live. It's over the process of time. Amen? I'm so glad that my life isn't the sum of just one week or one day or one year even, or even sometimes a decade. I mean, you could have a decade of bad years. I think I had a decade of bad years at least, glory to God. And but God brought me through on the other side. My life wasn't defined by that decade. It wasn't defined by those bad events that happened in our life. Amen? But God looks at the overall picture, and we need to look at the overall picture too. You know, we have this opposition, of course, right now, this opposition that is come upon the earth and that is coming against many people. But we have to know something more than what the world knows, or we should know it as Christians. Amen. And And really what we need to know is we need to know God. We need to have an intimate understanding of our Father. Amen. Because if we have an intimate understanding of our Father, then His word will be spoken to us. And that's when it has effect. Glory to God. And we're going to see that here today. Let's start in Ephesians 2. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to a real well-known scripture. Praise God. A real well-known scripture. And a lot of people actually quote the scripture. Albeit, I believe sometimes they do it a little bit in error, and they look at it a little bit wrong sometimes. But we're going to look at it here today, tonight. Glory to God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Praise the Lord. These first couple of chapters of Ephesians. Ephesians is an awesome book. Praise the Lord. But these first couple chapters, really, we need these in us. Amen. But it says here, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." And so we understand that it's by grace that we have been saved. And of course, a lot of people talk about this. They talk about this idea of grace, amen, and they talk about that this is how people are saved. But I think a lot of times where people overlook is that part that says through faith. Amen. And through faith is, of course, what we believe of God. Amen. Now, we are saved by grace, but it's through faith that we access that. So in other words, God's grace has been poured on the earth. God's grace has already been given. You can't have more of God's grace because He's already given as much as He's going to give. But the key is that we have to access that grace. We have to be able to get into that grace, and we access that grace by faith. Amen. So if you look at the most basic part of Christianity, which would be salvation, we access salvation through faith. But we were given that salvation by grace. But that grace isn't, it's offered to everybody, but it isn't necessarily obtained by everybody. Grace, even though God has already given that grace, it is only obtained through faith. And faith is what you believe. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so John 8, 31, 32 makes more sense to us now that when faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so if we abide in the word, what grows? Our faith grows. Amen. And when our faith grows, glory to God, we get to access that grace. Now, that grace, let's not make God so simple that His grace is only one little tiny thing. Because God's grace is much more than just one little tiny thing. God's grace extends to our whole life. Everything that we need to get a full understanding of grace, but when we get a full understanding of grace, we understand that God's grace, everything that we obtain from God is obtained through grace. It's His unmerited favor, we like to call it sometimes. And we're going to get more into the definition of grace here as we go on. But we need to think about that. We haven't earned His grace, but we do have to access His grace. Amen. But God's grace is when somebody prays to God, when they come to God for looking for something, when they come to church, when you come to church looking for God's help, or when you come pray looking for God's help, you are seeking God's grace. God's grace is also defined as His ability. It's an ability that we have that we haven't earned. Of course, you don't earn grace. You can only access it. Praise the Lord. We need to remember that. You can't earn grace. It is not by our works. Amen. It is a gift of God. It is a free gift of God, but it is only accessed through faith. And so every area of God's grace is only accessed through faith. In other words, through what you believe. And so in times like now, when we have opposition on the earth, when we have all seem like hell breaking loose on the earth and nobody really knows what to do. My wife was talking about this. The fear is tangible. The other day we did have to go to the store, and so we decided to get up early and go to try to hit the store early so we could get there before there was crowds of people and everything. And when we got there, there was already a crowd of people. But it wasn't so much so that you couldn't move around or move around safely or anything like that. But the fear in that place was just tangible. You could just sense it. And when you see people there, it's almost like they look at you like you are carrying a known disease. Amen. Now we get the idea of being smart and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with using wisdom. In fact, we should use wisdom, but we can't walk around in fear either. We can't be people of fear. In fact, the church of God needs to look different. We need to access God's grace, but we are never going to access God's grace unless we have knowledge of it. And we're going to see that here. The knowledge of God is what produces the access or gives us that ability to tap into those things. It is not, you know, so many times people are praying, they're praying for God to do something, and if God were speaking loudly, he would say, "I've already done it." But see, God doesn't speak loudly on these things because the Bible tells us already. When the Bible tells us, God isn't, we can't expect God to come back and tell us what he's written down for us already. It is up to each and every one of us to access the Word of God ourselves, to learn the Word of God ourselves, to be saturated with the Word ourselves. Each and every one of us has to build that faith. And if we don't do that, we don't have access to what God has given us. Now, God in his mercy, and God especially when you're a baby, when you're a baby Christian, he will allow you to make some mistakes that you won't allow you to make later on, and his grace will come in and cover you. But you have to understand that particular kind of grace, the grace that just kind of falls on you, amen, that grace isn't just always there. That's not God's highest and best. That is not what he desires from his people. Amen. We are to walk the way that Christ walked. We are to walk into the same things that Christ walked into. Now, obviously, we're not going to be the savior for humanity, but we are to do a lot of the same works. Amen. As we follow the Lord. Glory to God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. We should even underline that. Praise the Lord. I don't have an underline in my Bible, but I think I will soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Through by grace we have been saved through faith. Amen. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Now turn with me to 2 Peter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has got great and wonderful things for us. In fact, where this message really came out of, I'm not even using, going to all the scriptures that I started with here. Just turn to 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 1, or verse 2, amen. But I heard that in my spirit about, praise God, how did I say it? A light and easy is found in the knowledge of him. The Lord started leading me into a bunch of different scriptures, amen. And all these scriptures had to do, there's scriptures in Colossians and Romans about the knowledge of God and our connection to it. And Ephesians, the beginning of Ephesians, you know, praise the Lord, glory to God. He says that I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in my prayers, glory to God, that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, amen, that you may understand what the hope of his true calling is, glory to God. And so the knowledge is what creates in us the understanding of his hope. When we understand his hope, we can access these things. All the things of God are accessed by faith. I said all the promises of God are accessed through faith. You can only access what God has for you through faith. It is not just going to happen. It is not. See, so many people, this is where people get into error because they think that God, and this is why they think God, because they think God only does things according to the way he wants to do them. And because of that, when things don't happen, they think, well, God must withhold here and give out here, or he gives out here and withholds here. And that's not our God. Praise the Lord. God is one who anybody can come to him. He is not a respecter of persons. That all people can receive from God just the same. Amen. And that same way is through Jesus, which is the faith in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And so 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 we're going to start in. Amen. Says here, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace are multiplied to us in knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. And so grace and peace, these are two major heavy-hitting words, amen? These are two very important words in Scripture. They're up there with love, glory to God. It's up there with faith, glory to God. All the things of God come down to peace, mercy, love, grace, glory to God. One of the names of God is peace, Jehovah Shalom. Praise the Lord, which means the God of peace. Hallelujah. And so we know that God's desire is peace. We know that he wants us to live in that place of peace. Light and easy is a place of peace. Amen. Now, I define these according to to Strong's Concordance. Amen. I looked them up, and grace literally means that which affords or has paid for joy. Amen. That which affords or paid for joy. Now, in of yourself, you don't have any choice, you would think. We normally think, most humans think, that they don't have a choice over their own joy, that they don't control their own joy, that it's based on other factors. Amen? But the Bible tells us that we can access joy because that's what grace is. Grace is that which is paid for joy. In other words, that's what guaranteed joy for you. Amen? And so when we see that we've been saved through grace, that salvation is that which affords joy for us. Amen? But it's more than just that which pay for joy, goodwill, loving kindness, favor of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ. Praise the Lord. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The goodness of God that leads men to repentance, the Bible tells us this. Why does it tell us that? Because it's God's goodness that draws men to him. What was Jesus doing when he was here? He was doing the will of the Father. He was drawing men and women to the Father, to that salvation, amen? And what's he doing today? He is still drawing men and women to that salvation, glory to God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It turns them to Christ. It keeps them, strengthens them, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of Christian virtues. So in other words, grace is, this is where I get that grace is God's ability. Amen? Because it's not ability that you had. You couldn't make yourself just happy. You couldn't make yourself all these things work out for you. But that's what God's grace is. It's God's favor working in your life to accomplish what God has desired it to do. Amen? So that's what grace is. Amen? Now, peace of Christianity is the tranquil state of a soul or a mind assured of its salvation through Christ. Yeah. The tranquil state. When something's tranquil, it's at peace. We understand what it is. When we look out at the water, and it's like glass, amen, we say it's tranquil. It's at peace. It's not up and down, tossed to and fro. It's like glass, amen, just even keeled. And so this is a state that God desires for us as well. And fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, of whatsoever sort that is, security, safety, prosperity, felicity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Let me say that again. Because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Wow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's what God's peace is. Amen. But I want to point out something else I said in there really closely, because this is something that the Lord pointed out to me, fearing nothing from God. Hallelujah. Peace is fearing nothing from God. When people are afraid of what God is going to do, they are not at peace. And that is not God's will. And they cannot be in the perfect will of God, because if they're not at peace, they can't be in God's will. God's perfect will is for you to live in peace no matter. Paul said, I am content no matter what. I've learned to be content no matter what state I'm in. What is he saying? I have learned to be at peace. Hallelujah. So what is the most important thing for a Christian right now in this time is to be at peace. Hallelujah. To be operating in God's grace and to be at peace. Now, knowing these things about, or understanding these things about grace and peace and all these things that are important, amen. The Bible says back here in 2 Peter, it says, grace and peace be what? Multiplied. Hallelujah. Who doesn't want prosperity, safety, joy, that which affords joy, God's ability? Who doesn't want that multiplied? Amen. Isn't that what the entire world is looking for? Why do people put on a mask when they go out when there's a virus? Because that gives them some sort of feeling of safety. Maybe they don't feel completely safe, but they feel safer than if they didn't wear it. So that's a little bit of peace that they're looking for. Why are people listening and sheltering at home? Because that gives them a little bit of peace and safety in their mind, even if it's not real. You could put on something completely fake. You could put on a hazmat suit and go out there. But what's the purpose of doing it? Because you're looking for that peace and that safety. And that's what the whole world is after. Amen. And here we find out that it can be multiplied to us. That God's desire is that grace and peace are multiplied to us. That it's not just something that we all get to dabble in. It's not just something that we get to experience once in a while. No, God's grace is given to us. But we know this, according to Ephesians, that His grace comes to us by what? Faith. It comes to us through our faith, through what we believe. Do we trust God? Do we believe God at His word? Do we understand what God has said enough to say when we look at the circumstances of the world and say, this isn't what God has for us. Amen? But I know that I can be good because I'm a child of God and I have entered, I've obtained that grace through faith that I've gotten into that. And that's for salvation. Now, salvation is not just for when we die, but our salvation is for when we're here on earth. Amen? Amen. It's a living hope, the Bible calls it. It's a living salvation. We live it. We breathe it. We spend every day in it. This is what Paul and the other apostles did. They lived in God's salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I understand that most of them ended up going and paying with their lives, but that was specifically part of the plan of God for their lives. Amen. God has not talked to me about sacrificing my life yet in the sense that I'm going to be put on a cross or I'm going to be martyred or anything like that. If He does, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But He hasn't dealt with me on that yet. But He did deal with them, and they knew the death that they would have. They knew what was coming. Amen. Because that's what God does. He tells His people. Praise the Lord. But we haven't even finished the verse here. Amen. So we're going to go on. Praise the Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so it's in the knowledge of them, their knowledge. This is where God's ability and His peace are multiplied to us. Aha, praise the Lord. I said this is where it's multiplied to us. Why do people pray? People pray because they're seeking one of two things generally. They're seeking grace and they're seeking peace. That's why people pray about anything. Why do you pray for healing if you're sick? Because you want God's ability. You're asking for God's ability, something that you can't do. You've gone to the doctors. You've tried to do right by medicines or whatever. And nothing you do has changed your situation. So why do you pray about it? You go to God because you're hoping that God's power will come down. Something that you don't have the ability to do, but you know that He does. So you're seeking God's grace. Praise the Lord. And why would you be seeking God's grace? Because when life is upset, when you're sick, when you're not feeling well, when you're hurt, when you're broke, when any of these things are going on, amen, when your family is in upheaval, all these things cause a lack of peace. So you are seeking one, or you are seeking usually both things when you pray, praise the Lord, or I'm talking about when people pray in general, glory to God, they're seeking God's grace and peace, but they're seeking it in the wrong place because God said that my grace and my peace is multiplied to you in the knowledge of me and of my son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's where it is. So people are seeking it in the wrong place. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. That's not what God, see, and this is why so many people go without, because they don't realize that what they obtain from God, they obtain in that place of His knowledge. So we must get the knowledge of God. Amen. But we got more scriptures to read here. So let's continue on. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just got to remember, I'm going to go through verse 4. So grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us. Everybody say has given.
Has given.
What does has given mean? Does it mean present tense, future tense, or past tense? Praise the Lord. It means He has given it. God is not doing any more for you than He has already done. Yeah, people don't even like hearing that a lot of times, but I do like hearing it because I understand what it means. When I say that God is not doing anything more for you, He can't do anything more. He gave you everything. Yeah. Romans 8:32 tells us that if God gave us Jesus, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Praise the Lord. He's given us all things. Amen. And here we see that His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. Hallelujah. So you can live the way that God has called you to live. That's what godliness part. But you can live a life that is joyful, that is at peace, that is at rest, that is in that place of God's grace, His unmerited favor that you can't earn, but glory to God, you know what's working in you. When you go out, you know that you can go out and be safe because God's power is working in you. How about if we just wake up every morning and say, God's grace is on me today. Amen. Hallelujah. What if you went through the day with the knowledge that God's grace is on you? See, because knowledge produces faith. Hallelujah. And that faith is what stirs you and what accesses God's power. Amen. Glory to God. So it's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now look at this. Praise the Lord. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Hallelujah. So we see this again. Peter repeats himself through the knowledge of Him. So we see that grace and mercy or grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge of Him. Amen. And all things that pertain to life and godliness, praise the Lord, are given to us through the knowledge of Him. That's where they're obtained. See, you have to know something. And once you know something, then you can believe it. And then you can confess it. And then it belongs to you. Amen? By which has been given to us, exceedingly, everybody say exceedingly great. Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through the promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. How do you, listen. The coronavirus is a corruption of nature. Yes. Amen. It's a corruption of nature. It is not something God has intended for us. It is something that He is using. It is something He will use. But it is not something He intended for us. It is something that God would have had His people completely avoid had they done what they were supposed to do. But sometimes the church doesn't listen. Sometimes the church doesn't want to do. And yes, could the church have stopped this worldwide pandemic? Absolutely could have. It absolutely could have. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? Some people don't believe it, but that's okay. That's why they still don't have it. Amen? Glory to God. That's why they don't get their help. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When most people pray, they are looking for an external force to implement something or act on their behalf. Okay, listen, let me say that again. When most people pray, they are looking for an external force to implement something or to act on their behalf. When you pray, you are going outward. You are reaching out to God, right? Praise the Lord. Hoping that God will come in with His power and invade your space and change whatever it is or do whatever it is that you're asking, right? This is what most people do when they're praying. However, God's grace is not an external force. God's grace is an internal force cultivated in the heart and bursting forth into our circumstance. Let me say this again. God's grace is an internal force cultivated in the heart, bursting forth into our circumstance. Hallelujah. So God's grace is something that's already been given. It's been shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. We've seen these scriptures. We heard these things. God's grace has been already placed there. Amen. We are to access God's grace through what we believe. What we believe comes as a result of gaining knowledge in Him. When I was the Bible says that when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I behaved as a child. But when I became an adult, when I became a man, I put away childish things. What this is talking about is the same thing with Christians and what Christians should be doing. When you came in, you are a child as far as understanding of God. When I came to God or when I first started coming to church, I still thought God gave and took away. When I first started coming to church, I still thought that the things like the insurance company calls acts of God were literally acts of God. I thought, well, if a tornado came through and destroyed something, that was an act of God. Think about all the bad press God has gotten over the years because people are blaming Him for things that He doesn't do. I still thought that God was some kind of supernatural puppet master who was pulling the strings. And if this person died, well, it was just their time. If somebody got into a car accident, well, God had purpose in that. No, that none of these things are the truth. Now, God can use any circumstance in our life, as bad as it could possibly be, God can and will use it if we allow him to. But that doesn't mean that he orchestrates it. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's grace is an internal force cultivated in the heart. And what do I mean by cultivated in the heart? What I mean is that as we build faith, as we build that knowledge of God, our hearts are opened up to his word. Our hearts are saturated with his word. One of the things that I've found is I've grown in the Lord over these past 15, 16 years or however many years we've been doing this for now. As I've grown in the Lord, one of the things I've known is my heart has been expanded to receive more of what God has. And I see God in a different light. I understand God more than I did before. Amen. And I see God's will more. I hear from God. Praise the Lord. I hear from God on a regular basis. And some people think that we're crazy for saying things like that. But even Jesus himself said, my sheep hear my voice. Yeah. Jesus said that. My sheep hear my voice. Well, is there anybody in here who's a sheep of Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, me too. And therefore, I hear his voice. I know that I hear his voice. Glory to God. I know when God's speaking to me. Amen. And we all need to know these things. Praise the Lord. But our circumstances will change once what's in our heart is projected, once that belief in our heart is projected out of us, it puts a demand on the natural world to change and to fall in line. Amen? Romans 10:10 says, I'm just going to bring it up here for you. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, we know that this applies in specifically in the scriptures in Romans 10 there. He's talking about receiving salvation. But we know that receiving salvation is not just for when you die, but it continues on through your whole life. These are all the promises of God, or the salvation of God. Wouldn't you say that the life, Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Wouldn't you say that if all of a sudden you had nothing and then you had an abundant life, wouldn't you say that you've been saved from that which you didn't have? Amen. If you lived in poverty, for example, my wife and I have been there. We lived where we couldn't pay our bills. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. We heated a one bedroom apartment with a little electric space heater because I couldn't afford the gas and all these kinds of things. And we were just barely getting along. But see, God has moved us out of that. We were saved from that lifestyle. Amen. So that salvation applies to everything. Amen. So the same way that the most important way that we are part of salvation, which is that we get to be with Jesus forever. Hallelujah. But doesn't mean that the lesser things aren't included in that. Amen. And so many times we overlook the lesser things because our focus is just on the bigger thing. Well, the focus should be on the bigger thing, but we don't have to spend every day thinking about, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? You don't have to deal with that salvation every single day, that part of salvation. You just know that you're saved. And so you live as a person who knows that you're saved. Amen? Or at least you should be. Well, the same thing applies to the rest of life. If we're going to live in salvation, we have to understand that we need to live in that salvation every day. We need to be saved from the things we need saved from today. Glory to God. And so many people, they're just going to prayer. They're going, I am not advocating for prayer. Prayer is important. But prayer is not supposed to be a thing where we sit down constantly asking God for what we need. That is not what prayer was meant for. Now, it does not mean that we can't ask God for something that we need or desire. We should. We do and we should. But it doesn't mean that our focus are those things that we spend. Most of our prayer should be communion with God, should be spending that time talking with our Heavenly Father. Amen? My sheep hear my voice. But a lot of times, sheep are just running their mouths. They're not hearing nobody's voice. They're not hearing from God. They're not having. Remember what I said. It's about how we live. Maybe you had a bad day. Maybe you had a bad week. Maybe the last month has been bad for you. And we just figured out this lockdown thing has been going on for 5 weeks already. 5 weeks this has been going on. And I haven't made all the best. I haven't had all the best days in that 5 weeks. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It doesn't matter, because right now I'm having a good day. Praise the Lord. And 2 months ago, I had a good day. And 2 months in the future, I'm going to have a good day. My life isn't defined by the last 5 weeks. Your life is not defined by the last 5 weeks. No matter how long this thing holds on and affects things, this will not be the defining moment of your life. When you get before Jesus, he's going to say, you know, I wanted to talk to you about a lot of things, but scratch all that. We're going to focus on the coronavirus. Corona, what? Jesus doesn't know. None of that is going to be the focus of heaven. None of that is the focus of heaven. God is not up there in heaven wringing his hands going, oh my God, Jesus, Paul, what do we do about all this stuff? He's not saying, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do about this? Yeah, he already knows the answer. Praise the Lord. What you need to do is have knowledge. You need to have the same knowledge that God has. And you're not going to get that if you're constantly, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. That's not the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God says you don't need to do that. The knowledge of God says you can trust God and do good. Yeah, amen. Psalm 37 tells us to trust God and do good. Now, if the Bible says to do something, to trust God and do good, that means you can trust God and you can do good. Praise the Lord. Why does he say something like trust God and do good? Because you need to trust God and do good when there's a worldwide pandemic and nobody knows what to do, but you need to go on living a life that magnifies and glorifies God. Hallelujah. How are you going to do that? By trusting God and doing good. You don't have to wait for something to happen. You don't have to wait for $1 million in the bank to do good. You just do good because you know it's good. The Bible says that to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So if you know to do good and you're not doing it, you're sinning. I said you're sinning. Praise the Lord. So let's get out of sin, just do good, trust God, and go on to what? This is what the knowledge tells us. The knowledge of God tells us that we don't just lay down at this and worry like the rest of the world. Yes, the world's worried, and that doesn't mean that we attack them and say, oh, you shouldn't be worried. They should be worried. They don't have the hope you have, but the Christian shouldn't be worried. There's nobody in any church that should be worried about this thing, praise the Lord, unless they don't have knowledge of God. There's a lot of Christians that have zero knowledge of God, and they're worried too. And rightfully so. Why do I say rightfully so? Because they haven't taken the time to get the knowledge of God, and so they don't have any hope. They don't have any hope for the way out of it. Praise God. I'm just telling you the truth. Why? Because it doesn't. God's grace is not just falling on certain people. God's not saying, oh, that one gets coronavirus, that one doesn't. He's not doing that. Praise the Lord. But your faith will determine whether or not you will. Glory to God. Or whether or not it'll take you out. All these things. Glory, hallelujah. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made up to salvation. And so we know that what we believe and what we say is deathly important. Amen. Hallelujah. What we believe and what we say. What comes out of your mouth is what's going to be. Amen. You can't tell me it's any other way because the word tells us otherwise. Mark 11:23, of course, we know those scriptures, and 24 talk about what we say and what we believe and how we have what we say and what we believe. There's other scriptures as well, but the point that I'm trying to make is Christians try to skirt tail around this. They try to get away from this. They say, well, do you mean that if I don't have faith that I could cause something bad to happen in my life? Yes. I'm not going to be a preacher who apologizes for that anymore. Right. I mean, if you live in perfect faith, can you live void of sickness? Absolutely. Wow. Amen. Have I lived a life void of sickness? Nope. Why? Because I haven't built my faith to that place yet. We're working on it. Amen. We're getting to it. We're standing. We're learning how to stand faith, and we're continuing on. That doesn't mean that, and that's why I still have to, people, again, they talk about John G. Lake. He was a man who built his faith to the place where viruses died in his hands. Praise the Lord for it. That is obtainable. How do we know? Because we have stories like John G. Lake, who had viruses die in his hand. Glory to God. But that doesn't mean I'm taking a virus because I haven't built my faith there yet. Amen. Well, oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But see, faith is not something that you can just say, oh, I believe it. That's not what faith is. See, that's another thing that I found out. This is one of the things I actually really love about this time period. I love it and hate it. But in this time period has taught me both the areas that I'm doing good in and the areas I'm not doing so good in. Showed me where my faith is. Remember, I've said faith isn't faith unless it's tested. And so all of a sudden, I was like, you know what? It's like this. I thought, I used to get in a boat and I would think, if boat capsized away, I thought I was a good swimmer. I could swim. I did. That's what I thought. I mean, I literally thought I was a good swimmer. I can swim, yeah. So I'd never wear a life jacket, none of that stuff, And then one day we were on a vacation. We were at a hotel and I hopped in the pool. I'm like, I'm going to do some laps. Praise the Lord. And I swam about 20 feet and I was so winded that I couldn't barely stand it. I was thankful I could touch the bottom. But what did that tell me? it woke me up to the fact that if I had to swim a mile, I'm dead. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth. Unless I can learn how to float. Do you know that I'll just tread water? Have you ever tried treading water? It ain't quite as easy as, at least with me, man. I'm like a rock when I get in the water. I sink right to the bottom. Amen? Or at least I sink enough to get my head underwater. You know what I mean? I float just below the surface. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Turn me to Romans 5. Praise the Lord. But it's good to be sober-minded. It's good to be woken, waked up. It's good to be brought to consciousness on the things that you don't do so good in. Because when you do, you know areas that need to be worked on. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, I love faith. But you, especially in our circles, people get the idea of what faith is a little bit backwards. Yeah. They think, well, if I just say it, then I got it. But see, just saying it doesn't mean you got it. You know, again, in Mark, Jesus told us that Mark 11, he told us that if you say and believe in your heart, belief in your heart is where the faith is. How do you know if the belief is there? Because then the mountain moves. If you're looking at the mountains and talking to them and they ain't moving, brothers and sisters, you need to build your faith. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Romans 5:1. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that have been brought to my consciousness. Amen. That I know now that I need to work on a little bit more. And that's not bad. That's God. Romans 5:1, it says here, therefore, having been justified, what? By faith, glory to God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith. So don't tell me that. See, this is what people are, you want to argue stuff, but the Bible says it. You have access by faith, through grace, but by faith, or by grace through faith, if you want to say it that way. But it's the same understanding, amen? This isn't different. This is the same understanding. We have access into this, access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So grace is your ability to stand when the trial comes, when all hell's breaking loose in your life, when the devil is knocking on your door. How are you going to stand? You're going to stand by grace. But you can't stand by grace unless you access grace through your faith. And if you don't have any knowledge, if you don't believe God, if you never trust what the preacher says, well then by God you are in trouble because you have no grace to access. You have no access to it. Your faith is the door into the grace. Praise the Lord. It is the key to the door into the grace. And so if you don't have the key, you can't open the door. You're not going to ram through it. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Huh? Praise the Lord. Let me see your Bible. Does it say that? That says you're in Bible too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this is the New King James. Maybe in the King James it says something different. No, I doubt it. Amen. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Praise the Lord. Now, look at this. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out, or in the King James Version, shed abroad. But it has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise the Lord. But all this comes through the knowledge of Him. You have to know God. Amen. If you don't know God, you're not going to know His grace. You're not going to know His ability. You're never going to have faith. You'll never be able to access what God has. You can get on your knees and you can plead and beg and cry, but you'll be like every other Christian that goes with their prayers. I'm not saying every Christian goes without their prayers answered, but every other Christian that doesn't have their prayers answered, you'll be just like that Christian, being on your knees, begging and pleading, God saying, my Bible, I've written it and got a bunch of different versions so you can understand it. It's there collecting dust on your shelf while you're on your knees crying. Get up and read your word and start having faith in what I said. Start building your faith in what I said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Praise the Lord. One of the ways that we hear is by attending church, which you've all done here tonight. Glory to God. Why does Satan want to stop the attendance of church? Because then people aren't going to be hearing the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are impartations. You know, I love, there was a lot of people that have given us suggestions on how not to have church. I love that. A lot of people that don't go to church giving us suggestions on how, yeah, I know how you don't have church. I don't need your suggestion on how not to have church. I get what you're doing. I also get that it's necessary for us to do it. I also understand things that you don't understand. I got all kinds of people that were on social media and stuff telling me, you don't have to go to you don't have to go get together to have church. Oh yeah, well the Bible says we do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now I'm not saying that we all always have to be in the same room. I'm not saying there are things that we can do. There are creative ways that we can do this. Amen. But my point is saying is it is important. Just like my wife said, this is something. Praise the Lord. You know, people, the haters out there and stuff like that, what they don't see is they don't see the people that have maybe gone through a loss in this time period and need their brothers and sisters in the faith to help build them. The people that are at home, they don't see the people in rural areas that don't even have the internet. This is actually a thing. In 2020, there is actually a quarter of our church doesn't even have access to internet, doesn't have the ability to even to access that. So we could do online services only, but that quarter of the people, am I just supposed to throw them away and say they don't matter anymore? Am I supposed to toss them out and say, oh, well, you know what? Because you don't have the internet, you don't get to have access to it. Come on now, praise the Lord. They want to give illegal aliens everything that they possibly can give them. But when I want to give the people of God, the people who are faithful to come, the people who have been faithful to be part of the church, when I want to give them the things that they need, now I'm not allowed to because somebody else that doesn't go to church deems it not necessary. I don't care what the government says whether or not church is necessary. It doesn't matter to me. It's necessary. It is necessary. It is necessary. Now, again, I am not opposed to adapting things. I am not opposed to taking safety precautions. I am not opposed to doing all these kinds of things. Of course we do all that. Of course we do those kinds of things. Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. If a pastor has an online, we know pastors that have online only services right now. I am not speaking for them. I am not saying that they are wrong in any way, shape, or form. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It is important for everybody to know the state of their flock and to know what they got to do. Amen. But if it was up to the government, I wouldn't even be able to talk to these people. I could make a phone conversation. But praise God. I mean, this is hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we operate in wisdom, but we don't operate in fear.
That's right.
Glory to God. And this isn't just a non-essential business. This isn't some liquor store. This isn't the beer barn, amen. This isn't a bar. This isn't just somewhere somebody goes to get, you know, whatever. And a lot of those, they allowed to be open. Praise the Lord. They want to close churches down. There's a beer store down the road. I saw traffic going through it on my way to church. Now you're telling me that's worse than us meeting together?
Come on now.
Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. So I don't care what the haters say. Praise the Lord. We're going to do what God says. And I'm certainly not taking advice from people who don't know. Amen. Yeah, but see, but to most of the world, the church is a social club. You know why? Because most of the church shows the world that that's all it is a social club. People don't walk in the power of God anymore. The Christians are doing, you have Christians out there arguing and doing the same, coming against the church the same way. Like, wait a minute. The Christians coming against the church, they're getting in public, talking about the business of the church. You know what I'm saying? Well, praise God, hallelujah. I ain't come here to hate tonight. Glory to God, I came to set people free. We're going to close here. Turn with me to Colossians 3. Praise God, hallelujah. Colossians 3. But you do know that stupid people always say stupid things. Well, I'm not picking on anybody in particular. I'm just saying that if they're saying stupid things, you know. Listen. And if you spout off so much that I have to tell you that it's stupid, I'm not calling you stupid because I wanted to. I'm calling you stupid because you needed to hear it. Amen? Because obviously nobody else was. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Colossians 3, verses 9. Do not lie to one another. Oh, that's pretty good. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we should have put off the old man the way we were before. We put that off. Yep. Amen. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in what? knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Amen. So we are renewed. If you need refreshing, if you need renewing, where are you going to get renewed? Are you going to get on your knees and pray to God, Lord, refresh me and renew me? No. You're going to get into the Word. You're going to pray in the Holy Spirit. These things are all the refreshing. You know, the Old Testament tells us, it was Isaiah, I think, says that this is a refreshing, which I caused the weary to be refreshed, yet they would not listen. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. We know that, you know, in Jude 1:20, it tells us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what praying in the Holy Spirit really is? It's about edifying yourself. So it's not like it's producing in you the ability. But see, you don't get that without the knowledge. A lot of churches reject that knowledge. So what are they doing? Rejecting the refreshing. That's why they don't have it. But we are going to walk in it. Amen. We're going to keep going because God, because we have the knowledge of God. Now, some people may say, well, Pastor Jeff, that's a really conceited thing to say, that you have the knowledge of God. Listen, I'm a dummy, but I'm a dummy who knows that this is the knowledge of God. And so as long as I know that this is the knowledge of God, it doesn't matter how dumb I am. I've got the knowledge of God with me all the time. I carry the knowledge of God with me whenever I carry it. Amen. Whenever I read it, I'm reading the knowledge of God. So it doesn't matter how smart I am. It doesn't matter how much I could do. It doesn't matter what grade I went to. It doesn't matter what degree I got. None of that stuff matters. All that matters is, do you have the knowledge of God? Because I know a lot of people with degrees that don't have the knowledge of God, and they're morons. They can't. They're not doing any. It's not, I mean, literally, when I say that, I'm not even saying being morons to be controversial or to be funny. I'm saying it because they literally live like morons. Like I know people that make the worst decisions that you could possibly make in their life, and they've graduated from with high honors. Praise the Lord, from like master's degrees. But they can't live. They can't make normal decisions in life. Even basic decisions, even someone without the Bible can say, that's a dumb decision. Yeah. They can't do it. Why? Because the knowledge of God is what sets people free. Yeah. Amen? It's not the head knowledge of man. Amen? Right. Praise the Lord. And that's why God uses the foolish things of the world. But he'll keep using us, praise the Lord, and we'll keep going and we'll keep walking in God's grace, his ability, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to be in God's peace, amen? And so if you haven't been in God's peace, if you've been in this time and if you've been struggling, listen, get into the Word. Read some scriptures. You know what scriptures you should go to? The ones we were in tonight. Yeah. Just go back to them, praise the Lord, read them again, get them in you, read them again, get them in you. Ask the Lord to show you more. He will. God is so good that way, amen? You know this message? I didn't plan this message. I planned another message. And God gave me this message. He just put it together for me. Just pour it out of my spirit. Why? Because it's been put in my spirit. When you put it in, it'll come out. Amen?